I was just thinking as we were worshiping God, that actually God is at work in this church. God brought us back. I ended up here, and I can see that in your lives, God is at work. Now, you may not feel that, okay? Maybe you're sat there this morning, I'm not sure, I feel a little on the edge. I think God's calling you in. If you feel on the edge, God is saying, don't be on the edge, there's no need to be. God has given a gift to every person, and every person has a part to play in the body, and that's why we've been looking at this discipleship and saying, get involved. Find a group to be a part of. Find a mentor. We're going to come back to you about those ideas of mentorship or accountability. But really, we want to be people who are being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. Those are really simple things to take hold of. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. And every one of us has a part to play as this is part of this church. But then we're coming together to then go out into the world to show that love to others. So this morning, I think actually God is saying, if you feel on the edge, be pulled in, get with the program, get involved. Don't feel like you need to be. If you're wondering what you could do or how you could be involved, speak to me, speak to one of the elders, speak to a friend who's part of church. I mean, we want you to be part of this. And that goes from the very youngest to the very oldest person. Your age, your culture, doesn't matter. God said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations, yes? And so we're together in this. The kingdom of God is different from the world. If you look at the world today, sorry, I'm going into one. I think this is God. The world is so broken and divided. We stand together. You know, one of the first words I learned in Brazil was together, which was juntos. And I remember hearing that and thinking, there's power in us together. You know, when the people of God are together, it commands a blessing. The word said that. So let's be united. Let's seek God together and know we each have our part to play. Amen. Sorry, that was a yes. Amen. I'm not sorry. Let's just go to the word. So anyone had a teacher who really influenced you? Okay, I imagine all of us had some. And what was it that made their teaching stick and made you enjoy that class? On the converse side, you've probably had a teacher who you thought, oh my goodness me, why are they teaching me today? I'm so bored. Or whatever you thought. Teaching is an important thing. And I had a teacher who taught me chemistry. Really, that's why I ended up going to university and studying chemistry. Later on, God called me to ministry. But he was a genuinely interested guy in you as a person, which made the world of difference. He was passionate about his subject, and, you know, he actually cared about his students. And so in that made me interested in chemistry because of the way he was as a teacher. Now, I don't know about you. You may have had those other teachers as well. What I think makes a good teacher is someone who's passionate, someone who has a good knowledge of their subject, someone who cares about the student and wants to see them grow, wants to see their potential realised. I have teachers in the room, I know. And I was in a school and I worked among teachers and I worked with those who were still passionate in their job, still loving teaching, cared about their students. I worked alongside others who'd lost their heart. And that's a lesson for all of us in everything. But who was the greatest teacher? Jesus was ultimately the greatest teacher of all, wasn't he? He led his disciples, he taught them, and he helped them grow into who they should be, that in turn, they became the ones to start the church, to in turn make other disciples, who then became this global movement of the church, didn't it? Ultimately, his model of teaching in many ways was he asked lots of questions, didn't he? Questions that challenged people, questions that got to our heart. He also told stories. He told parables, didn't he? So that people could relate to those stories in the context of the day he was living. And so today, when we're thinking about teaching and Jesus's teaching, we're going to look at a good old story in the Bible. If you're as old as me, you might remember there was a song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. I won't sing it, but you know, and when the rain comes, you know, if your house is on the rock, and it's from Matthew, is it Matthew? Yes, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. Here we go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it was built on a firm foundation. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put it into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as teachers of the law. Amen. Very interesting, that last verse. I think today many people are looking for authenticity. If someone stands at the front and speaks, they want to see their life measures up. Because so many leaders have come and said, this is who I am, and then yet we see things broken. Now all of us are hypocrites to some degree. All of us fall. But we need people who are genuine and authentic and living the way they say they're living. So, here we go. What are your foundations? What are the foundations of your life? I watch a lot of Grand Designs. Anyone like Grand Designs? Oh dear, I don't know really why I like it so much. It just, I don't know. Anyway, I like watching the design process and then the construction and eventually the finished building. When they get the finished building, I'm like, wow, that's really lovely. Love to live in that house, wouldn't you? Anyway, but often when you watch these things, it's the foundations that give people problems. You know, they start on the foundations, they've got this wonderful plan, then they hit a problem. I remember seeing one where they're building into the side of a hill and there was rock, and so it's really hard to build into the side of the hill. They got the foundations in, they were firm, and then they found that to connect to the local electricity and water, it was a long way away, and they're going to have to dig another hole, and it delayed their whole process by years, actually. I don't know if you've watched, it's quite funny. Sometimes they start with small kids and they're like, we're building our house for our children. They're teenagers and about to move home when they're finished, which is quite funny. Anyway, the point being, foundations are important. Usually, if you see those foundations go in place and they're solid, then the building will go up and will get finished, won't it? And when we talk about our foundations, we're looking at how we're learning the Bible. How are we taking the teachings of Jesus and applying them? I often go back to that whole thing where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what? If all of us as Christians sought to just put that into actual practice, people would be changed, wouldn't they? Yeah, we can look at lots of others, but often we look at so much of the word, but we don't actually go, right, practically, how am I going to live that? And today we live in a world of sound. The foundations of society are moving, aren't they? We've stripped away all the things we stand on and it wobbles. I read this the other day and I meant to get hold of Jenga and put it up here. But you know the game of Jenga? Yeah, you take the little blocks out at the bottom, you put them on the top, and gradually, as you go through, the tower becomes more and more wobbly till eventually it collapses. This is where we are, and this isn't my illustration, I read it in the book the other day, but it's somewhere where our society is at. We are taking more and more of those foundational things that we've stood on over the years, the Word of God, respect, all of those things are gradually going and society is toppling. And so we need to be standing on the truth. We need to know what we stand on. So here's some questions, okay? I don't know if I'm following this. I've forgotten about my slides in the background. But yeah, so we need to be studying the Bible ourselves, okay? So are you reading your Bible regularly? This is a question. I'm just asking questions now. Can you give an answer for your faith? If someone came to you and said, why do you believe in Jesus? Would you be able to answer? Do you believe the Bible as the inspired word of God? Is it authentic to you? Have you studied why we believe it has authority? You know, I could go into why it has authority. I'm not going to this morning. Did Jesus really exist? Well, of course we believe that. Did Jesus die and was really dead? And did he rise from the dead? There are facts about all of these things. They're not shifting sands that we say, oh, maybe that happened, maybe that didn't happen. Jesus existed, he was real, he died on the cross, he rose 3 days later, overcoming death and giving us eternal life. Is there a heaven and a hell? Those questions are things that are answered when we study the Word. And we must be seeking after God. We must have foundations, because otherwise we'll never get to the place where we're firm and solid and that finished building that God intended us to be. And that's a lifelong process. None of us have got there. I know I haven't. And we're all still seeking to develop, aren't we? And so those foundations are so vitally important. And I just thought of two topics. I've narrowed this down. I said three originally. I'm going to do two. Two topics in the Bible that maybe we need to revisit and say, have you really looked at this? Because these are things that are challenging. So the first one, I thought, just to mention and remind us of today, I'm just going to keep an eye on where we're at. The first one was repentance, which I hope is going to come up as the next slide. Yeah, so you might not be able to see these. The point of putting this slide up is, when you're at home, you can go back and listen if you want, but you can also look at the slides. And I'm not going to read all of these references. The point I want to make here is that Jesus spoke often. He said, repent. Repent means change. Now, many talk about sin and wrong stuff in the world, and it's almost like it doesn't really exist anymore. You know, we just need to do self-help or whatever. Sin is real. It's the things that separate us from God, that cause destruction in our world, and ultimately leave us feeling guilty and alone. And ultimately, that's why Jesus came and died on a cross, to take all of that on himself, so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. And so the church needs to preach repentance. When it stops preaching repentance, it's not telling the truth. We are called to change. When the woman caught in adultery came, Jesus accepted her where she was. So that's the first lesson. We don't tell people you're a sinner and you're going to hell straight away, do we? You don't tell people that. You tell people, we love you, God loves you, God wants a relationship with you, and your life can be different because you have him in you. But then what did Jesus say at the end of that story? He said, go and sin no more. In other words, there was, I'm calling you to change. Yes, your life's been rubbish up to this moment. And when we're thinking about baptism today, that's the picture. You go into the water, that old life, that sinful life, that death to self, and that new life, that resurrection, when you come out of the water, living in Christ. And there's that change, that's turning towards God and him changing you. And I've just put a couple of notes at the bottom here so you could read those things. Those, by the way, that's just the references in Matthew. If you want to go look this up, type it into a search engine and say, give me all the references Jesus said on repentance. You'll get a similar list from Luke, John, Mark. This is just Matthew. Okay, and so repentance is necessary to faith. There has to be a turning away from sin and towards God, and a change of heart. Now, two words in Hebrew and in Greek. In Hebrew, I don't know if that's how you say it, shove. I don't know how that's saying shove. Anyway, but it means to turn or return to God. There is a literal, okay, I'm going this way, I'm going down this destructive path, say it's an addiction or a compulsive sin or whatever, and you go, actually, God, I need your help. That doesn't mean you're instantly never going to do it again, but your change is here and here. I don't want to do that anymore, I want to go this way. It's literally turning. And then in Greek, there's this word metanoia, which basically is about the change of heart and mind, which isn't always instant, it's that process of God renewing your mind, of changing your desires and making you more like him. And so this morning, your foundations, one, you know, maybe you've not remembered what repentance is. And I want to challenge us again and say, you know, out loud, church, we need to preach repentance. Because the danger is we're a church not calling people. What are we saving people from? If there isn't sin, if there isn't a salvation, then our faith is pointless. Jesus came and died so we could have eternal life, forgiveness, freedom. Yes? Amen. So the other thing I wanted to point out as well, which we won't go into much at all this morning, I'll just briefly mention it, was what Jesus said about money. Do you know how much Jesus talked about finance? It's tons. And this morning, as I come to this as well, if you feel to give at church, we usually have a QR code up. That'll be up at the end. There's some boxes at the back. There's a card machine. It's important that we tithe. We give something back to God. Generous giving is important. But there's a table here, and again, you won't see this, but you can go and look at it when it's online. This is a table of the things Jesus said, themes about finance and money, references, and a summary of what those things were about. Okay? And when you look at that, did you realize how much he said about this? Practical teaching about what we do with our finances, and Jesus spoke about it a lot. And we're all struggling, and we do struggle, and that's okay, but you can have some advice. Like, for instance, you can't serve money and God. You know, you can't have two masters. Like, for instance, we invest in internal things. Like, for instance, we give freely, and God, we trust God for provision. There's so many things there that we need to know. Jesus taught these things. There are foundations to our lives. And so any subject, if you want, you can go to the Bible and say, okay, I need a foundation for this. What do you say, God? And it's not just the word, is it? We ask his Holy Spirit to speak to us, to show us. What is the truth? How should I deal with this situation? So many people are lost and blowing with every teaching of the world. And it's largely because we have people stood at the front and we just listen, but we're not studying for ourselves. I want you to read the Bible. And if I say something, come to me and say, Matt, I don't agree with you. And I'll talk it through with you. I'm not going to say to you, no, I'm right. And you must absolutely stand on everything I say, because you have to know the word yourself. Because there are teachers coming along who are saying some very plausible things, but actually they're leading us the wrong way. So be careful. Beware of the world's teaching. Finally, will your building last? I won't talk too much longer because I'm aware we're going to try and finish a little earlier. So storms are going to come in your life. Your faith will be challenged, and will it stand up? I love that bit in the song. And the foolish man built his house on the sand, and the house on the sand went crash. We don't want to be those people, do we? Okay. And my challenge is this: you know, sickness will come. Maybe relationship breakup. Maybe financial issues. Maybe death, loss. All those things, we're not promised that we'll be excluded from them. As Christians, we have a God who's with us and who's triumphant, but we do have to face challenges. And when those challenges come, what are you standing on? Are you in a relationship with God that will be strong enough to stand when those things come? And I'll briefly tell you, I had that challenge. I faced that, and everything I knew of my faith was like, God, why have you let this happen in my life? I wrote a book out of it, and I hope that book has given people help. Because when I went back to God, I was clinging on to God and saying, how do I get through this and why? And every time I went to God, he'd give me a word, or he'd give me a verse of scripture, or he'd give me a song, or even I'd see a film that was secular that God spoke to me through, or something that then he kept me. And a friend of mine would regularly send me, remember, never will I leave you or forsake you. You know, do not fear, for I am with you. You are mine. Yeah. So when you face those things, you know, remember what you've learned. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it can feel hard, but God can stand you through the storm on the rock. And if you've been studying the word, if you've been spending time with him, if you've been in his presence, then you will stand. It might be sad, it might be painful. All of those things are real and we don't avoid them, but God will be with you, okay? Unless, I felt this phrase, as I was writing, this phrase came to my mind, and I don't know if this is a word, but unless you're building in the sun, when the rain comes, you won't be ready. I don't know, go back to Grand Designs, often when the weather gets bad, if they haven't done enough work while it's sunny or whatever, they're in a mess when winter comes. And so you must be building when things are all good. Okay, prepare for life. Okay, so finances are good, relationships good, life's marvelous. That doesn't mean you just go, okay, well, at the moment, all things are all right. Thank you, God, and just carry on. You keep studying the word. You keep being with the Spirit. You keep being keyed into church. Those things are still important. Amen. So when you're facing challenges, stand on the rock. I had a friend who said to me often, God is not surprised. How could God be surprised? So when disaster comes, God knows. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. So he knows when those things are coming. We only have a partial picture, don't we? You have a little bit of a picture of what's going on. And we often think, oh, well, God's not good because of this. But he knows the whole thing. And so when those things come, he's saying, look, I'm with you. You're going to get through this. Don't be surprised. I mean, Paul wrote it, didn't he? He said, don't be surprised that, was it John? I can't remember now, but you'll know. You can go look it up. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as if something unusual was happening. You know, we all face those things. But God can help you through it. And there's two ways to go. You either run towards God or you run away. And I've seen both things happen. In my life, I ran to him and he proved true. I've seen others run away. And it's heartbreaking because life doesn't work out without God, I believe. Now, you could argue with me, but I believe that when you run to God, he will carry you through. He will be with you and you will know you have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, who will never leave you or forsake you. And then I was thinking of this scripture, which Paul said, Philippians 4, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. So we could apply that to things in the Word, to what Jesus said, to the letters, to whatever we know of God. Okay, whatever you've learned, received or heard from God, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, put it into practice. Apply it. And the God of peace. Do you want a God of peace to be with you? Okay, that doesn't mean everything perfect, but it means the God of peace will be with you. Amen. So I'm finished. Final thing. And this is to take away. What are your foundations? What are you standing on? Are you growing? I forgot to say this. When I was talking about teaching, they always talk about having a growth mindset. In other words, you've never reached that point. There is always something new to learn, to grow. If we could all have that in church, I've seen so many Christians who've got a non-growth mindset. You know, reach a certain stage. I've heard it all before. I know what the Bible says, and this is where I'm at. There's still more. God is not limited. He's an endless fount of knowledge and wisdom, isn't he? And so we have to know. There's still more. And honestly, as I get older, I realise I know less. I don't know about you. My dad used to say that, and I used to go, right. But it's true. It is true. Because there's so much more to learn. Are you spending time with your teacher? And I mean with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, alone. Go, shut the door, and your Father will see what is done in secret. Read the Word. Be with him. And second thing then, are you prepared when the storms come? Are you ready? We're living in uncertain times. We don't really know, when you look at what's happening, what tomorrow might bring globally or even nationally. Okay? And when those things might happen, are we ready? Will you turn to God? Will you go, actually, this is a time I cling and I dig in and I stand my ground, even though this looks like I don't know what I will do. Cling to what you've learned already. You know, those truths of Scripture, that foundational stuff. So we're going to finish there. I'm going to call the band back. I'm going to hand back to Sarah, I think. And I hope this morning you'll take that away with you. And you can go back and look at these slides maybe, some of those things. Or maybe there's something you need to foundationally look at again in Scriptures. But God bless you this morning. And I pray that he'll have spoken to you.